Owen's a child.
Okay, what's the title? We live in the concrete jungle of Manhattan. Sometimes it's hard to know the difference to make what these things are. And then what you wear. Going back to Nisha.
Owen's a child.
I'm a farmer. I live in Central Park. I live in Dutchess County, New York. Bucks County, Pennsylvania. I have an apple orchard. 5,000 acres. Oodles of apple trees.
Oodles.
Now, you're an entrepreneur. And you want to invest in apples. And I'm a farmer. I need some money. So you say to me, okay, so, you say to me, I'll buy the apples there at a discount. What are you going to make if you want? What profit? What price are you going to sell them if you sell them in July? Then right now it's December. There are no apples on the trees. There are no buds on the trees. There's nothing. There are trees. There are no apples. So you want to pay me now and buy the apples now. Okay, and obviously at a deep discount. I'm agreeable to that. The problem is that if we do that, we pass in that I could, either party could totally back out. And the deal is basically not worth the paper that's written on. Because there's Machlokas Tanam, Rabbi Meir and Mechachavim, appears in the see him many other places. Can you do that? Do you say, Adam, Mas, and Dover, Shalom, Olam? Can you sell something that doesn't yet exist? It's on the way. It's not, in normal course of events, the apples will grow. The trees produce apples for the last 10 years, and, we imagine that it's going to produce apples another couple of decades. So we're assuming that the apples are probably going to come. But they're not here now. The mayor said, no problem. They're on the way. That's good enough. And the Chachamim said, no, we passed on the Chachamim. Hey, as a mafna, don't of Olam. You cannot sell. You cannot gift. You can't do any kinyanin on something that doesn't yet exist because it's too ethereal. It doesn't. There's nothing there. There's nothing for a kinyan to grab hold to. There has to be something tangible that you're doing the kinyan. There's nothing to be mafna. So what are you going to do? Well, the Meisner wanted to do this deal. He wanted to do this deal. So what are you going to do? So the Rambam said, well, there's one Gemara in Bava Basra, and maybe one other Gemara here and there, which provides the solution. And what solution does the Rambam, and court as well by the Torah, give?
Terrible.
Huh? Yeah.
In terms of
oh. I give him a share in the tree. Now I'm going to study the tree. I don't want to study the tree. I don't like to cut my tree down. I don't want you to climb my tree. I don't want you anywhere near my tree. Just in July, when the apples are ready to be harvested, then you can come and take the apples. Or I'll harvest the apples, I'll give them to you. And you're paying me now. How are you going to pay me now for apples? You say, well, you'll get a chalik in the tree. What's chalik in the tree? So what's the Rambam going to tell you? You see from the Gemara. And we're used to thinking of Shushpas as a quantitative thing. I 50-50, 90-10. Somehow, you'll use it on Sundays. I use it the rest of the week. Some people do that with cars. For the weekend, you use it during the week. So they usually think of a shutzpah. We divide ownership in quantitative terms. How much? How much do you own? But what the Rambam is bringing out here is also such a thing as a qualitative split. Not you get this much, this amount, and I get this amount, but we're going to take the tree and talk about different aspects, not of what it means to be a tree. Is that famous? For those who know, you may or may not be asked what type of tree would you be. But that's not what we're talking about. We don't even know what it means to be a tree. It means, what does it mean to own a tree? What does it mean to own a tree? What does it mean to own anything? This is a philosophical question. What does it mean to own a tree?
What is a bad
topic? What is that? What does it mean to own a tree? So let's think about that for a moment. I don't want to get into the involvement of the philosophical question. I don't even mean to market philosophy. I don't want to get into the involvement of the philosophical question, which you could clear is it something to own something or is it just right? So let's talk about this. What does it mean to own something? What does it mean to own a car? What does it mean to own a mic? Well, own a car means that I have the right to drive it. Own a car means that no one else has the right to drive without my permission. So I have exclusive tashmishim. I can use it. I have exclusive tashmishim. I mean, I can prevent other people from using it. If it gets lost, my loss. If someone totals it, did I get the money? If my tree is mine to someone else, my car is mine to someone else, so I may have to pay the money. And if someone steals it, so I'm going to get the case off. Like, owning something means a lot of things. If you own a tree, if you own a rubber band, So, the rubber band is 2 inches long. If I own a tree, right, it's just the figures of Shabbat. I write Ashba, it's my property, and then now it's growing fruit. So I don't own, when apples grow on my tree, I don't own them because I was cone them with a king's custard or something. I don't cone the apples. If you own a tree, then by dint of the fact that you own the tree, you therefore own whatever grows on it. Exactly. Without a king, you must say, let's say, I own a tree in Ezra's field. He owns the property, I only own the tree. So I'm not going to have a king of custom necessarily, because the apples are growing in his field. But still, it could be that I own the apples because my tree, they don't need a king. My tree produces apples. So part of owning a tree is that you own the apples too. That's one aspect of ownership. So you can say, I really ashba, but my property is being mashpiach, and the name of the Sheba is mine as well. So now with that, we return to the din of. The Rambam was putting forth is a little more nuanced. The Rambam said, look, you can sell the Gemara the Gittin, Gemara the Balavata, I can sell the tree with respect to the fruit. The words I mean, it sounds a little like mumbo jumbo. Right. I can't sell a fruit, I'll sell the tree with respect to the fruit. You're not buying the fruit. Mumbo fruit. The answer is no. I'll give you, ownership means 10 things. It means that I have the right to use it. And if someone, injures it, I get paid. And if someone steals it, I get the case while someone's over. And it means that if it produces, I automatically own the product. So I'll sell you that one element of ownership. So you will be the partial owner, not 10%, numbers-wise, quantitatively. You'll own that aspect of Bailiff that Arai Ashba. You're the Bailiff of the tree Lagabe Arai Ashba. And on the bottom of the tree, I retain ownership of the tree, Lagabe, everything else. So I really sold you, the Davar. That's what I would say. As the tree is Maskuli, the tree does exist. The Torah puts it together more fully, gives a fuller picture. The Rambam gives you a little more explanation. Ain't the Mask and Davar Shal Bala Olam. That's not called Mask and Davar Shal Bala Olam. Shagup Maskuli. I'm selling you something which exists. The body of the tree exists. I'm renting you the house. I rent you a house, I rent you a car. You can't decide to remodel the car. You can't decide to remove the hubcap. You can't do things. You only have possession of the car vis-a-vis the right to use it. Here, it's a different vis-a-vis. Here you have the car, and it's free vis-a-vis the fact that you will thereby own the terror. Now, I've told you, element of ownership in a davar about shabkar baliyom. I'm selling the tree itself partially. So that's legitimate. And that's the way around the winter problem. How do you sell you the crop in the winter? The apples will be ready in the summer. I'm going to sell you the apples now, and I'll tell you a chelo shutzpitz in the tree. I can sell it to you. I would say the olam vayit forever. You will forever own the fruits of the tree. Or if I don't want to do that, I just want to sell it to you this coming crop. There's no problem. I can sell you something with man. I can sell you a tree with man. I'll sell you a tree, partially, with man. So for the next year, you own the tree with respect to fruit. So then this year, coming year's crop will be yours. But beyond that, it reverts to being totally mine. Yeah.
But let's say in that case of which she sells them laying in the zero, but let's say now the guy who really owns the tree, goes and chops it down and destroys it. So what does he have? Does he have, how much, how do you...
Yeah, how do you deal with that? Right. So I'm guessing, I'm not sure. You have to look and the camera shall have on that day. But my guess offhand would be, just imagining, that you would probably want to write some sort of contract and have some sort of penalty for chopping down a tree. Because if you didn't, I'm not sure that the guy has any recourse. Because let's think of this way. When I own my own tree, let's say I 100% own my tree. I haven't sold anything yet. So part of my ownership is I have the right to fruit. Let's say I chop the tree down with other one. Okay, so then in theory I have the right to fruit.
No, but you sold.
I understand, right. The question is, so you could say, okay, well, you have the right, and now this is not, look, if for some reason it's a bad year, let's take a different example, and it's a bad year, and there's some sort of crop disease, and their fruits don't grow. Or let's say it's a tree rot, or it gets hit by lightning. Right. So I don't think you have any recourse. You bought that right. It has to be that it doesn't help you anymore. So you bought the tree with respect to all the fruits. There are no fruits. And if you own your own tree and there's no fruit, so
they don't go, but there's no tree either, and you
That's an onus, though.
You do own.
No, there's risk involved.
In order to say it's not a natural oil, you have to say you have some sort of ownership of the tree itself.
Right.
So if you destroy the tree itself, so that you're taking
but
away
you
that
own any of the
from him. Now he not only take away the from you took away from him the fact that he could
he
owned
that something which is
part of the benefit.
I'm not sure.
He owns part of the privilege.
No. We think he owns the. He has part of the ownership in the tree.
Not in the trunk. He owns one of the privileges
right.
Of
the
tree. He can't come and cut off.
Well, that's a good way of looking at it. That's a good way of looking at it. At least saying you're a mutt. If he owns part of the tree, that could be then you're a mutt. Because you're a mutt, you own stuff, because there's no payment. But here, I really
mutt.
That's a good point.
Let's
say we're regular shuttles. Let's say we're quantitative. Right? We own Kathy Hazard. And then I decide to, we own a factory. And I decide to torch the factory. Crazy. Guy has the art to torch their own factory.
Okay.
Well, some people do that for insurance. Right. No, insurance, right? Then he's not crazy, then he's a Russian. Let's say no insurance. Back when you do all this, right? Some of the guy decides to torch the building. You torch your own house. You're crazy. Shit, no one's suing anybody. But if I'm shipping with you, if I'm a seller and I are shipping in the factory, and then I decide one night to torch the factory, so then, I have to be pay him for his half of the...
Right, but then there's something like you say, okay, pay him half the worth of the tree. But here, how do you value, like, he doesn't really own the tree. You're not going to pay the worth of the tree because he's not...
Very good.
He doesn't own a stake in the tree.
No, but he does, because remember, if you own payers, how do you ever know how much anything is worth?
None. Based on the year before.
The Mission American. How do you know how much anything is worth in all of them?
Sure.
How much market value, right? So there could be a market value.
Half the market size.
There could,
natural
economics. How does the market decide how much a signed picture or not? How does the market decide how much a copy of a letter? These are all good questions. But what is the narrow about that is, let's say I own a tree.
A tree grows in Brooklyn.
Is it true? I can tell you I grew up next to a tree in Brooklyn. So anyhow, there probably is a market for trees. In other words, to sell you a tree outright, of course, whatever. Okay, to sell you this apple tree, you want to buy this apple tree off me, absolutely, it would cost you $50,000. Oh, sorry, $10,000. $6,000 a lot of money.
Yeah, the Brooklyn market for trees is
very
different.
That's right.
The
yeah.
market in Teaneck for trees because
there aren't any trees in Brooklyn.
I have one. And nobody wants that. I have one. Let's say you own a tree. And I damage it. Do I have to pay you the
place? Hey,
no.
So, if I own a tree I want to sell to you, yeah, the market will determine if supply and demand is always okay. But now it's time for, So the tree has a market value, let's say $10,000. So let's say I bought the right of the tree legality papers. So I paid you, let's say $1,000, and I could also flip that ownership to someone else. I could put it on the market. Why not go on Craigslist and say I'm selling Elon Lombardo and some other property and sell it. And so how much will whatever the market will bear, that's probably the answer. If I burn down the tree, so I have $1,000, he has $1,000 stake in the tree, I have another $1,000 stake in the tree, whatever it is. We can just figure out how this is separate discussion about how Hezek works in Mazik Karkov. In Mazik Karkov, some of the rules of Hezek are a little bit different. But you did it three times, and you'll figure out that, yeah, you're right, it probably would be, if I chopped down a tree, it could be that I am a mazik, and I destroyed your value, I destroyed my value, your value tree. Yeah, one more question, and we'll move on. No? Okay. So this is the idea, so from here you see, so what, yeah?
But the person who bought the tree, that he considered a
no, he owns the tree partially.
He owns the privilege of that tree.
He partially owns the tree.
He can't go ahead and come and cut off a piece.
Because part of ownership is the right to mutilate it, and he doesn't have that element of ownership.
Right.
But he owns the tree itself partially. That's the thing. Part of the underlying finish here is that we see ownership as being a collection of different things, and I can partialize them, and I can sell you partial ownership, qualitatively partial ownership. Okay. So why is it so nice? So this is nice, but yeah, okay. But it's also, it develops this notion, this doctrine, if you will, of partial ownership. And not just partial ownership in the sense of numbers-wise, but qualitatively partial ownership. So that is the part of what's going on, that's what's going on here as well, when you're trying to understand what a shibud is. That's what we left off with 2 days ago, last time we had shir, mini shir. Is
Yisrael then? Long story. No. Someone else did.
Short answer, okay. So everyone was talking this morning, you mean within a season. That's in a season and this. So what's going on? So you understand then well once you have this notion of a partial king. So that's what you're looking at, see this is a Sheba, this guy, he's a bother. How could it be? I have a Sheba on Daniel's property because he owes me money, that's very nice. But then he sells the property to Ellie. Ellie doesn't owe me money. So how could it be that somehow I can still go to him and take the karka? How does Shiva Hakamur? Doesn't make any sense. The answer is no. It must be that I already own the karka. If I already own the karka, it's like, you know, any other mobile shall shalom. If a used car dealer sells you a car today and sells the same car to Neff tomorrow, well, Neff didn't really buy anything because it was no longer the dealer's to sell. And that is the famous example of the Brooklyn Bridge. I can't tell you why can't I tell you the Brooklyn Bridge? Because it's not mine to sell. I can only sell something that's mine. So it's when Daniel took out a loan, he already was mocking his deal to me, so he can't sell it to Ellie, right? That's what the reason is, Stevens, that's what he says. Right? He says, what's a shibud? Shibud hadi kikinyin, the ain't a yachol lim kolarish. The shibud is like a kinyin, the underlined line. He's not able to sell it or give it or pass it on as an inheritance. The question is, what? That's not true. What is he talking about? Do you read that? What does it mean? Well, you can't sell. Of course you can sell. Of course you can sell. What do you mean? Every time you have nechassim and shubadim, someone was dishonest. You mean when if I have a mortgage on my house, it's not legitimate for me to sell it? It's thievery. I'm selling davar she'ein shalit. You mean when Daniel sells his house to Ellie after taking out a loan from me? So that really wasn't, that still wasn't chal at all. Number one, it's dishonest. Number two, because then when Daniel pays me back, the sale is still on balance. It's really Daniel's steal all along. It doesn't make any sense. So the answer is, you look, right? But the receiver is telling you something important. The only way Sheba could work and could survive, even after you sell the target away, I must already own it. But with this idea of Deco Teiroka in mind, the partial ownership, they are. When the receiver means, and in fact, you look at the rip line, and that's the impression that you get. It's an ownership, not that you fully own, not that if I lend Daniel money, I bought his car to. I have some sort of ownership in his car. I have a partial ownership in his car. I have a partial ownership in his car. So now we're beginning to understand what Shiva is. Okay, so it is a Kenyan. It's a Kenyan, a partial Kenyan. So Dental Tyrosa means I own a Lagabe, one element of ownership. But here also, Sheba Bayota means that I own it partially. I own it with respect to Gavir, with respect to the ability to collect it fully if he should default on his own. So I already own a little bit, and that, so once I have partial ownership in Daniel's land, because he borrowed money, so even when he sells the land to Ellie, he can't sell it 100%. I already have a finger in the pie. Look, if Yaakov and Eric are shutting in a car, okay, they pooled their money and they bought a car together. So you both got your licenses, and pooling money, buy a car together. So, and the deal is, look, I have to drive to work. You work in the city. You don't drive to work. You take public transportation to work. But I work in the suburbs, so I drive to work. So I'll have the car on the weekdays, and you'll have the car on the weekends. That's the deal you make. Okay. So then, let's say Yaakov's going to have the car on the weekend, and Eric's going to have the car on the weekdays. Then Eric decides, enough of this car, he doesn't want it, Marvin has to marry. I don't know something to be fixed. Who needs it? Right? So Eric can just have the car for the weekdays, car turns around, and says, Yosef, surely you'd love to buy a car. But he doesn't say no. And then he says, Ari, you'd love to buy a car. And Eric says, okay. So Ari, park it up. I don't like you. Yeah. Okay. So Eric sells the car to Ari. So what did Eric sell to Ari? Not 100 cents the car.
No.
Yeah, there's 100 cents the car, right? Right. So you have a 70 cent share of the car, let's say. So you sold 70 cents the car. So, all right, the 30 cents the car is not transferable by you, but you don't own it. Because all Yaakov wants to sell it to the different store. Yaakov can sell his share of potentially someone else.
The car is the piece of the car, though.
No, let's see, you guys, Mamish, you bought the car. You pooled your money, you bought together. Right. Let's say, so you're going to figure out exactly how you're going to divvy up the usage. So it might be your ship from the car. You pulled your cash and you bought the car together. So then you're no one else owns the car. Not that fair. So what to do? So now whatever you divide up your ownership, but the point is if you have joint ownership in something, if either partner sells, he only sells the sale. So as soon as Daniel takes a loan from me, from my bank, so I become a partner in his property. I'm not going to be a relevant partner, it's not going to be important until it comes time to collect. But just by Bethel Tarosa, the fact that you own the guy owns part of the tree is not going to be important until July, until it's time to stand harvest apple. But you can't throw him off, he's already a shutter. So let's say, the Bethel Tarosa case, if a guy who owns most of the tree sells it, he still can't, so the guy who bought the payers keeps the payers, because you're a shutter. Like Yaakov can keep the sales of the car. So if I have a chalak in Daniel's property because I have a sheep and a chassim on it, I have a partial kinyan on it, so when he sells the property to Eli, he's selling him 90% of the property, so to speak. Not quantitatively, but qualitatively. He's selling the property with respect to almost everything. But that one little bit, to the extent that I owned it under Daniel, I'm going to own it under Eliyosa. Because that element of ownership that I have, Daniel can't sell. So I retain that, just like when Eric sells the car to Aaron, so Yaakov still got the right to drive the car, he'll still own the car without a weekend. That's something you could sell. So when you sell the car to him, this, what I have, is not something that you can sell. So that's the chura was going on, that's the idea of a shuv nechassim. Okay. That's the idea of a shuv nechassim, is that it's some sort of partial gain. Then the Ritva says, the Ritva says, to the extent I understand what he's saying, he says that the machlokas in the Gemara, and I wish you come back to the Gemara in Bava Basra, because it's very important. Bava Basra to finance it. So the Gemara had a machlokas, he understands about, does this whole idea make so much sense? That you can have the Shibud as a partial kinyan, is that real, that's the right stuff, or that's just an invention of Gemara? Let's take a look at the Gemara in Bava Basra, Kuf, I say, on the day. Beautiful Gemara. That Gemara may be very directly relevant to Dav Gimel. The Gemara says, right after the Mishnah, Kufayin Hei Beis, page 350. Amar Ula, Devar Torech, and Mubba Bishtarech, and Mubba Peh, Govan Nechassim Yishubadim. Min HaTorah, you can collect from Nechassim Yishubadim, and Nechassim Yishubadim sold it to someone else, mean you can collect by virtue of a Shibu Nechassim, whether, regardless of whether it's Bishtar or Baal Peh. The Mishnah said, Halacha L'maisa, you only collect from the kuchos. You only collect from the buyer. If there was a shtar, if there's no shtar, you can't. You only have a shiv nechassim b'shtar. The milvav had no shiv nechassim. So Gemara Ula says that's midrabanan. Min haTorah, there's always a shivud. Echad milvav b'shtar ve'echad milvav peh gov nechassim b'shubadim. Kuf ayin heim zeis. My time, why shibud is a raisa. There is a notion of shivud min haTorah. So then what's changing in our Mishnah? I mean, I thought there's always a milva. There's always a sheep in the chasna. Like Ula says, there's midaraita, yesh, sheep in the chasna, ishtar, and baal peh. That's midaraita. Midrabanan, there's still yesh, ishtar, but midrabanan, ain sheep in the chasna, so that's what changed according to Ula, that they removed the Shiv Nechassim by Mil Vapeh. How come? It is the idea of Shiv Nechassim, and that's the idea of Torah. So why did Chazal have to employ Hefkibet and Hefkir and say no more Shiv Nechassim, no more collecting from the Vakuchas? So the Gemara answered, because you can't, because it's a dangerous situation. They saw that it was creating a problem. Mishum say the Vakuchas, because the Lakuchas are losing out. Because poor guy, he bought the cock, and next thing he knows, Eli Parliament instantly buys the cock from Daniel Apple. Next thing he knows, I come knocking the door, I take his cock away. So that's what Chama said, no more Sheba Nechazim. The Gemara says, if that's what you're concerned with, Yachi, move Bishtar Nami. The same Lakuchas by Bishtar too. Either way, you're losing. So who cares whether it was a Shtar in the original Halva'ah or not? The Gemara says, no, Hassan, Inu, Ninu, Dafsidu, and Afshayu. Now there is a difference, because if there's a Shtar, then it's your fault that you lost that. Rashbam explains, as the Gemara itself is going to say later, if there's a star, the word gets around. If you had Aden, and you had a star, then it becomes a big hullabaloo, and becomes a gossip, and everyone schmoozes about it. And if you would have done some research, you would have found out about the guy's halvos with a star. Anything that there's a star on, is a schmooze, is a hack, you have the Aden, and so forth, it becomes the whole thing. So you could have found out about that. So you didn't? That's your fault. We don't have to protect you on that. You have to take reasonable care, due diligence for yourself. That's why the milva b'shtar, since there's a kol, since milva b'shtar creates a buzz, so therefore the makuchas can protect themselves, find that beforehand. Milva peh, there's no way, there's no kol. So the Lakuchas are going to be endangered. So Mela, Chazal said, we're removing the Sheba Nechassim. And then Rabbi says, Rabbi says, the same is true. Minat Torah, everything is the same. Excuse me. Minat Torah is the opposite. Ein Sheba Nechassim Bishtar, and Ein Sheba Nechassim Alter. All right, so then Rabbi says,
the what?
Min ha-Torah, you cannot, there's no sheep in the chasim at all. The only thing you can do is collect from the loved own assets. My time of shibuda lav daraisa. Sheba does not exist. Min ha-Torah. The whole thing is invention of the Rabbanim. So why they invented? Ma tam amru milu b'shtar gov v'min ha-chasim mishubadim.
So what they changed is they said min Rabbanan, we're going to say yesh sheba nechasim Bishtar. Oh. So how come they did that? Why did they create the whole concept of Sheba Nechassim Yeshmayayim? Well, why did the rabbis have to do it? The Gemara says, because Kedesh Otinol Dalas Lifnei Loven, because we don't want to lock the door in the face of borrowers, which is a fancy way, a poetic way of saying, we don't want people to stop lending money to poor people who need loans. So, if I see, look, I lend the guy money, and then he goes broke, he sells it, or he loses all of that. If I come to collect my money, sorry, I don't need to pay with. So lending money is very risky. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to make loan lending money into Chesed. I shouldn't charge ribbons. I should just lend money out of goodness of my heart to take care of other people as an act of Chesed. Yeah, but it can be very hard for people to do that, to be misgaber and do that. If it's such a risk, you may not get anything back. It's not even a gamble. Not maybe I'll make more, maybe I'll make less. Maybe I might just, either I'll get it back or I'll lose it. So people stop lending money. The Chazal know this is a problem. They say, you know what, we're going to create something called Sheba Nechassim. They give you security. You'll be comfortable lending you money, but Moshe locks your nose in case, as long as I don't count that out, even if I go broke and lose my data, he'll follow my account around whoever ends up on it. He knows where to find it. I have money in the bank, but if I have a car, but I can sell the car and let's be able to find the car. And there's no point having a Sheba Nechassim on the telephone. But Tarka, 50-50 hours is not done anywhere. Right? So even if it changes hands,
they'll know where to go to collect. And you can't hide it, you can't move it, smuggle it out of the country. Right? The money and the diamonds and the artwork and the car and this and that, I'm not going to rely on that because it could all disappear. You'll sell it all and I'll never know where to find it. Well, exactly. But the karka, short of some massive natural disaster, the karka is not going anywhere. So we'll tell Moshe Rothman, don't worry, you can feel comfortable lending him money, because even if when it comes to collect, he has no access left, you can always go to his karka and follow his karka and whoever owns it left to give it up. So that's what Rabbah said. The whole idea of Sheba and the Chasim is entirely midrash on him, and they created for this reason. They brought Zai, so then why only Bishtar? You want to make Sheba and the Chasim, so make a Sheba and the Chasim all the way. And they argue the same answer. No, about Pesach, on the one hand, I want to encourage borrowing, I also want to encourage people to buy and sell real estate. So if we're going to say the Sheba and the Chasim, even with his no-call, even if it's about Pesach, I want to buy your property. Maybe you have some secret loan I don't know about, and I'm going to get drafted in a year. Right. So you want to tell people to buy property, you can't have a Sheba Nechasim in a situation about that, where there's no call. Yes, question.
You know, God married the girl, right?
Right.
Their property was a part of a
he owes her a super. He owes her half. She has 5 years of stuff. And she has a right to collect that.
Was the steal that they gave away?
And you were away because they were shipping car. Basically, they loaned. They couldn't pay back. So they took away their car. Now she wants to get
so
back.
So why would anybody want to loan less than father Mary?
As the book part of you're asking a fabulous question. We just touched on two very important issues, which I think probably not going to do fully now. But let me just flesh out what the question was. There are two excellent questions. And this whole area, which we're coming to kind of tangentially, because this whole, you're pressing a great question in the area of Gvias Chovos. And this whole question of how Hilchos Mavos Loga, how repayment works, is such a major question, which let's say you have multiple creditors. I have a Visa card, MasterCard, Target card, mortgage, telephone book. So I got 2,700 books in the library, never broke them back. And I have the guy that unfortunately doesn't know. I have many, many creditors. And then I took out a loan, and then I was short money. None of this is not a joke. I was short money, so I took out a loan from this guy. And then he came due, so I took a loan from a different guy, because people unfortunately do this. That when it's real, it's not funny at all. And what?
The government does
as well. that's true. That is true. So the question is, a lot of people, I owe money to a lot of people. So who gets this what? Right? Or let's say you saw that I was going broke. So you came in quickly and you walked off. But I have only $10,000 of karka. I had $100,000 of debt. That's just what you're asking. You don't have enough karka to cover all the debt. I owe money to this guy, that guy, the other guy, there isn't enough karka to cover everybody. So then how do we divide it up?
You were talking before about fundamental reasons why you said, no, why would anybody want to work? Why would anybody want to make deals? Just because everything has a land thing on, right?
Right.
So I said, if that's so, why would anybody want to make deals with anybody if they're married? Because aren't you scared that they might get...
So let's flush that.
Are the nice stages.
So let's flush out what you're saying. You're saying like this. Because you're saying, how do you view, question number one is, when you have different people, if you owe money to two different people, so presumably, if you understand King the way I'm understanding it, then the first creditor bought first. Right? So So if there isn't enough money to satisfy everyone, we need to go to the car shop. Let's say you borrowed money, $10,000 from Moshe, and $1,700 from the loan shark named Yaakov. Right. But now you borrowed from Moshe first. And now you only have $100 of car payment.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's not your name anymore. You sold it away. Right. So presumably Moshe gets to take everything because he got a sheep on the whole car first. Right? And Yaakov is like the second buyer. So if you can pay Moshe off with cash, then Yaakov will take the karka. But if you have no cash, then Moshe's will cover has the right to the whole karka. That's what Mishnah and Ksuba to discuss how you deal with that. Then, the second question, which is the second question that you're asking, is given that's true, how does Ksuba work? When is the fee of Ksuba? Is the sheep of the Ksuba
in the Eim Shemet that's the actual claim? So
That's the question. Is the shiva the ksuba for when you get married? Because when you get married, you're already obligated to pay if and when the husband will divorce her or predecease her, die her. So what you're saying is that shmita stuff.
It's the same thing.
No, so the color is touching the same thing.
It's a chov, it's not a halba.
Salary. You're talking about what does it convert from being a piyut ksuba to being a standard the obligation for this ksuba, kabbalat alai, accepted by myself, bal yarset basraya, my yarshan after me, with far of kalshvara agnitsa mikinyanin, the if it calls kalshvara, so you can have the right to collect from the best of my land, the kana, whoever I own now, the also I'm going to make whoever I'm going to own in the future, all my property is meshuba, with far of own. To collect from them, the ksuba, with all the bells and whistles. Minayish from me, bafiru miglim as al kasvo, and even, the shore of my back. Bechaya basimosin, while I'm alive after I die, min noma dinan uve Allah. From this day and forever. And then we say, as a kanina, and we made a kinyan from the chasen to the kala, on all the provisions here unto, whatever, how do you say, here to four. All the provisions in this 2468 star. So yes, I think we started to do this, but I think during the way we write Tuba, like you're saying, that the Sheba begins, even though it's a contingent, Sheba tonight, because it could be she'll die first and it'll never be a Sheba. But the Sheba that if he divorces her or if he died first, he's not going to pay, then that Sheba does die first. So you're saying, why would I ever want to borrow? Why would I lend money to a guy who's married? That's a bad loan because they might get divorced.
Or die. If he dies, then she
can
right.
Be me. I don't remember the details. I think it's Mishnah and Ketubah.
You.
Like,
you
die.
No.
Oh,
but it was separate by Alman on it.
Ah.
that references the Mishnah and Ketubas under discussion.
Oh, so that's the Mishnah about where you divide it.
Yes.
So is that when they're all simultaneous? That's when they're all simultaneous?
It can't be when they're all simultaneous. You can't marry three wives at once.
You were mentioned the test by that Rambam. They seem to talk about marrying multiple people at the same time. But it's probably not a likely scenario. Yes, exactly. So I'll answer. You're asking me. And you're touching on the major question. Okay. So okay, 1 second. So, I'm not sure what the facts are. I mean, he's touching on the fundamental questions of Yaakovus. I'm not sure what the answers are. Can I take a look at those Mishnah and Ketubas? Directly about that?
No, always.
So let's just recap, because I think some people are more and some people are less than. Let's just recap, and then we want to move this forward some more before we close for the day.
Okay.
So we have a concept of Shiva Nagufa Shiva Nechasim. And we understand what Shiva Nechasim probably means is it's a partial kinyan in the karka. Along the lines, now that we know such a thing as a qualitatively partial kinyan, that could divide ownership qualitatively, not just quantity-wise, but the elements of ownership, so that's probably what a Shiva is. But the Chosid is the Gemara, does that exist in the Torah? Or Midrabanan? Okay. Now, if you read in the Sivas, as an aside, he points out that there are Rishonim who even understand that Rabbah doesn't just think that Shiva Nechasim is Midrabanan, even that Shiva Aguf is Midrabanan. Which would be wild, then the only reason I have the right to collect him in our Torah is because you have a mitzvah to pay. Priyat Lachot is a religious act. And then you find who cares whether it's just a mitzvah or not. He says, because if the guy, he says the next paragraph, if the guy loses his mind, becomes a shelter, so he has no mitzvah anymore. This is a shibur, I go, owe the money. So if it's just, I have a mitzvah, he's not looking to do the shelter, he's not looking to look at the shofar, he's not looking to daven. He's not forbidden from eating trade for food. So he's not mechayev to pay his zakat. If it's just a mitzvah, he's not, he's supposed to be a mitzvah. You will not be able to go and seize his property. If your whole attention is, it's not the sheep is in a group, of course it's not saying that, even if he's in the shtata. Okay. So why is this important? Why is this important? So the reason this is important is because now to go back to our Rashi. What did Mishnah say about a get? No stuff, yodo, no other agent, nothing. Just a piece of paper with a text of a get written on it, and you hand it over to Edom Mitzvah. Says Rav Elazar, that's also absolutely kosher, and she can go ahead and remarry without qualm. Right? And then he says, and go over the Nechasim Mishubazim, and you go over from Nechasim Mishubazim. So what does that mean? Says Rashi, go over to Mishubazim to get there, Nechasim Mishubazim. This not the Ksuba, Hosea get the Aimo Ksuba, Gova Ksuba. Gova Minachasa Mishuba. Rashi says first, before we even look at Rashi, what do we think it means? Well, Rashi has two approaches. Well, let's think about it. What's the Rabbah trying to say? What is trying to tell you that because I was the whole Aday, Mesira, Tarsi, that the star is a Baal Shtar Kinyan without Khatima. It's not going to be a Shtarai, obviously, that's a big trick, but the Baal Shtar Kinyan, you only need Aden Nazira, so therefore, if the Baal is get, she can go again now. She wants to prove she's going to divorce, she's going to have to bring Aden, but she's definitely fully divorced, and she could be Gova from the Chasim Mishubat. The sheriff. He's coming to get you, and you know who you are. So what does that mean? Remember, Rabbalaz is trying to stress how powerful a star is, even without Chassidus. That's the whole point. A star of Chassidus is a totally fine, very, very potent.
very effective. It divorces the woman. As long as you have agents here, it accomplishes the divorce. You know what else? It's so powerful, you can be gover from nechasim mishubat. You can be gover from nechasim mishubat. Excuse me, but could you know from the Mishnah Baba Basri, you need a star, so you don't know how to make your buzzing? Right, so let's chat in this line from the letter, Lechora, he's saying, if you have a star, what type of star is it talking about? Go from the Chasim Mishnah Baba, what type of star?
Get
Chov. Oh, so the Rashi presents two approaches, right? So it is considered Torah as a star Chov, because after all, we know from the Mishnah that star Chov Shtachov gives you the Shiva Nechasim, even if it's without agent, it's yet agent of Sira. That's also a Shtachov, right? So we don't understand very well. I mean, this functions as a Shtachov. The function of Shtachov is to give you Shiva Nechasim. Even here, there's no Chasimah, I don't care. And so what's the whole point? That this star, this ageless star, this Chasimahless star, I should say, functions as a star, right? If from the star, it creates Gershon, and it gives you Shiva Nechasim. If it gets to create Gershon, it's a Shtachov, it gives you Shiva Nechasim. But what, that's the second Pshat Rashi. What's the first Pshat Rashi? Go with Tsubasa, they get there in the Chasim Mishwazim. First Pshat, no! We're only talking about one thing, a guess. So this get is valid as a divorce, and it's valid that she can then go ahead and collect her Ksuba, even from Mishwazim. This time the Ksuba is, Hosea get the angel of Ksuba, go with Tsubasa. The Mishnah Ksuba says, how does a woman practically get her collect her ksuba. So she could come both with a ksuba when she was married and with a get to prove that she's divorced. But you know, the Mishnah says, even if she doesn't have the ksuba when she was married, it doesn't matter. Because if she had the get, obviously she was married.
There is.
And therefore she has the right to collect. So you can collect the ksuba just by showing a get. So that's what this Mishnah is saying. What's the Mishnah saying? That's very strange. Why is it very strange? Right. The Mishnah itself is strange. The answer is that you only allow repayment of the Ksuba if she surrenders her get. So you get it to only be divorced. But even if you accept the halacha, Rashi knows there is a halacha, we're not going to contest. Let's say we're not going to contest. We understand? We understand. But it definitely is then that you can collect your Ksuba with a get alone. That's nice. That's great. But what on earth does that have to do with this Mishnah? That's the problem with the first time Rashi. Rashi's like staying on his head because the point there is just to show that she's divorced. So I have to bring this get with the aid in the Sira also. But the fact that I owe the money is not because of the get. What created the Chiyah was the Ksuba. So who cares if they give them that Chasimah? The get function is to make her divorce. So there I understand whether you have a chasimus is an important question. Because the only chasimus is a functional get without chasimus. Functional means there is divorce. But the fact that you thereby, yes, you prove your divorce, then you owe the suit because of the chiyah ksuba from the very beginning. So who cares whether the get has the chasimus now? And as a matter of fact, it's not going to be able to raya. You have to bring the eight in the seer also. So you have to bring the get and the eight in the seer. So, okay, but that doesn't fit so well into the flow of the letter. But the point is that stars are effective. Stars work without Eidei Chasim on them. So what does it mean for a star to work? For a get to work means to megarisha. For a star to work means to create a shibu nechasim. But a get doesn't make him owe the ksuba. It's not the get itself that makes, the fact that they're divorced means that now, as of the ksuba, as per the ksuba when they were married, he now has money. But the get, that's the thing that's creating it. So Rashi, well, let's end with this. The second shot in Rashi, it is much smoother. The get works without chasimus to make her divorce, to make them divorce. Shachot works without chasimus to create shibun achaz. The question is, why would Rashi, you always have to wonder the two pshatim, which one is the more natural one? The chod is that second one is much more natural. The question is, so the first lashon is avoiding what ought to have been the easier pshat. What? That's the question you have to ask. Dalit, textual, conceptual. You have to look at the text, and you have to think. Where the two of us is all keen aside. If two lashonos, you got to figure out which one was more likely. What's that put in the non-chod? What's the muskul rishon? So you ought to have said the second one. Why did Rashi not say? Why is the first lashon not like the second lashon? There's something wrong. The seems to be machlokas whether the second lashon is true or not. That's in. And there could be a there could be a shiva nachasim with a shtar chov with no noise. It sounds like that might that halacha might be contested. We're gonna have to admit that. Why that should be so? But again, shiva nachasim halacha might be with a shtar. How about a shtar without edim? It sounds like the machlokas in Rashi that the shtar without edim creates shiva nachasim or not. Why that should be so? Yes or no? Is we'll work on, and that should all flow very naturally from the ideas we've developed. Should I leave with a kasha? Let's take another come on. Yeah.